For you, what is an image of prayer? So I bring up an image of prayer. You may call to mind a certain person in your life who demonstrated prayer visibly to you. Or perhaps it could be a picture or a holy card of a saint or even Jesus in prayer. For this homily, I'd like to propose to you a picture of prayer based on the first reading. And so what this first reading is showing a battle. And that's actually what the Catechism describes prayer as. In Catechism 2725, we hear from the Catholic Catechism, prayer is both a gift of grace and a determined response on our part. It always presupposes effort. This great figures of prayer of the Old Covenant before Christ, as well as the Mother of God and Jesus himself, all teach us prayer is a battle. Against whom? Against ourselves and against the wiles of the tempter who does all he can to turn a man away from prayer, away from union with God. The spiritual battle of Christians' new life is inseparable from the battle of prayer. And so on this screen, I'm going to show you a picture representing the first reading, Moses interceding, praying for the Israelites during a pivotal battle in their desert journey when they were threatened by Amalek in the attack of his kingdom. I'm going to zoom in on this. So you notice the three figures here. Moses in the center already seated after a long period of prayer, and the two men on his side, Aaron and Hur, holding up his arms. So I'm showing this to you because I think our prayer stops short in our development. We learn a few memorized prayers. We stick to that. And maybe if we make an effort, we try to talk to God. But in terms of an intensity and a level and the stakes, I'm not sure we're familiar with prayer of this kind that we see in this painting, where literally prayer is a matter of life and death. The victory of the battle is through prayer. So three aspects that this painting and this first reading teach us about the battle of prayer. First, the necessity for persistence. Two, your body is part of prayer. And three, you do not pray alone. We need a community. Persistence, body, community. So first, persistence. God could have arranged that Moses would have said one prayer and the battle was won. But here it says when Moses lowered his arms, the battle turned against the Israelites. And so he needed to keep his arms held up for the duration, for the entirety of the battle. A lesson for us, because how often do our prayers stop 1, 2, 3, or 4 times while we're praying for something? And then we get tired and give up. Part of the maturation of prayer, of growing in maturity of prayer, is recognizing it is persistence. And why does God want that? It helps grow something in us, trust in God. So first, persistence of prayer. The second aspect is the bodily aspect of prayer. Here Moses, that the battle is won when he's praying like this, not when he's praying like this. And you wonder, like, there are key moments in the Old Testament where it seems like this is a weird requirement that Moses has to have his arms lifted up for the prayer to work. Now, you can see in light of the entire biblical picture how God is preparing for Jesus. Because the most pivotal battle that Jesus has to face is on the cross, where his arms are extended and where he is praying for you. And for me. But this is also a lesson that your body is a part of your prayer. As I've been mentioning with our missional fasting, that you are body and soul together. And so if our prayer only engages our soul, it's not engaging our whole being. And this is also an invitation for us to grow in the maturity of prayer, where often we make prayer a kind of like last thing we do in the day while we're falling asleep. It's not a bad thing, but if that's your only prayer, you're not going to be able to grow in the maturity, the full stature of Jesus Christ. So that's why you know, we have bodily postures in our prayer, and you're encouraged in your home to make prayer that priority, like, you know, sitting, kneeling, even in your home when you make your prayers, to kind of give that full bodily attention. The second thing. The third thing is community. When I asked about the image of prayer, I called to mind St. John Paul II. St. John Paul II was inspired as a young man waking up in the middle of the night and seeing his dad kneeling in prayer. Early in the morning, seeing his dad deep in prayer. St. John Paul said this image stuck with him years later, even after his father had passed. And I think of that because here is an image of community. Moses has to pray for a certain duration. Moses has to pray with a certain posture, but Moses cannot do this on his own. He needs a community. But how often are our prayers devoid of community? And I'm not just talking about the difficulty of coming to Mass and praying together, right? The temptation of our age is I can just pray at home, which is good, and you should, but there's something about the community that's different. And but another aspect of community. How will we learn that depth of prayer without someone to show us, right? So as we look at renewal in the parish, it's a renewal of spiritual dimension as well. I believe God is inviting all of us to grow in depth and maturity of our prayer, but it's not isolated, independent, solitary efforts. It's we need each other to grow in prayer. There are some of you here who have that advanced experience. But some of us here are at a child's level of prayer. We pray only when we feel like it. We pray when we're falling asleep and we don't persist in prayer. And so we need someone to teach us persistence, body, and community. We need someone to teach us. So that's an image of prayer for your consideration. So which of those three? Which of those three? Persistence, body, community. Which of those three you feel God's inviting you to consider in your prayer? So, that's the homily. So I'm excited. This is tangentially related to this topic of the Capital Campaign. Because it involves more than just a single effort. So over the last few months, I've been introducing to you a capital campaign for a school. St. Teresa School, since its founding in 1959, has been largely untouched for all these years. And though we've welcomed it and raised up a generation after generation of leader, the buildings have not really received any love and care in that time. And so just the need is such that we need to put some TLC into these buildings. After identifying the need and going to the community, we came to the conclusion that this is an effort that will require more than just the fundraising we do, which, by the way, the fundraisings we do, the auction, the gala, and the school fair, that's just to cover operating costs. People wonder, well, why we have to do that? Because tuition cannot cover the expense of educating these students. And so that's why we're opening up a capital campaign. When we sought input from community and stakeholders, the top needs identified was one, renovation of these classrooms, again, that have been largely untouched, in that in some ways, they're kind of sad, all right? And that's a testimony to the strength of community that despite the sad state, that the experience, there's been such a positive experience of learning. But also that we've outgrown these facilities and principally the gym. When the gym was built over 30 years ago, it was for a community that was half its size. Now we've spilled over into St. John and become St. John, St. Teresa, almost doubling our size while keeping the gym that is still too small. And so looking at another gym is because right now this gym cannot keep up with the activity and demand. We're practicing at other local middle schools, primary schools in the area. And also, if you come to our bigger games, it's not not enough people, not enough room. So that's why we identify the three levels of this campaign. The first tier is for the renovation. That's the first priority, to renovate the school. The second tier is to be able to fund the gym with a loan from the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And the third tier is to be able to fund the gym without a loan from the Diocese of Baton Rouge. These three tiers, $1.5 million, $3.4 million, and $5.4. Now, it sounds like this is a monumental thing, and that's a lot of money. And it is. Yes, both is true. But the reality is, even with little effort that we've taken so far, the strength of the commitment of this community, there's already been $1.3 million raised for this campaign with very little effort. And so it's exciting now we have this public unveiling. The possibility, not only this community, but St. John and the nine Catholic churches that are all invested in this community. We have kickoff weekends this weekend and the following at all of the nine Catholic parishes that engage St. Teresa, St. John. So this is really about the possibility of community. What will happen in the coming weeks is that we will mail out a campaign packet to all of our parishioners who are currently receiving envelopes or participate in WeShare. And you'll find just very helpful materials to see what project we're looking at, the need, but also a letter from your principals and your pastors. I should have mentioned this at the very beginning of this appeal, but we're talking about this. This is an invitation, okay? You know me. I shy away from the guilt tactics of the old ways how we used to do things. You know, the pastor would stand up here and guilt Catholics into doing the, you know, Catholics, you better pray. Oh, Father told me to pray. I gotta pray. It's like, no, that's not maturity. That's compliance. That just gives a very short-term effect. What I'm inviting you to is renewal. Okay. And so, even for our parishioners here who have no children at the school, have no grandchildren at the school, or maybe some of y'all who never had anyone at the school, myself included, I invite you to consider that this is part of a mission. If you look at the world and you see the struggles that our young people are facing, almost an insurmountable kind of challenges with just the chaos in the world, the uncertainty of the world, here's an opportunity to say, I want to help our children. I want to help the next generation of disciples. I want to help. Okay. And so that's why I tell you that I've given to this campaign, because I believe in the mission and work we're doing here at St. Teresa and St. John. So this is an invitation, not an expectation. If you feel so inspired, again, we'll make opportunities. If you do not receive a packet, we'll announce, and you can certainly, we'll have some available at a later time. So I invite you to consider the campaign. We have the thermometer in the back. We're going to have that for the remainder of the campaign through December, and also have digital renderings of the gym, the new gym, a possible new gym for you to consider. But what we're going to conclude this appeal is we're going to conclude with prayer, acknowledging that this can only work if God shows up. This is not a human effort. This is to build his kingdom. And so I invite you to join me in praying this prayer, which you can find on the back of the prayer cards. We pray together. Heavenly Father, for generations you have blessed our community with the gift of Catholic education. We embark on this capital campaign knowing that you desire to bless generations to come. Following the witness of St. John, we entrust this campaign of renewal to you, for you declare, "Behold, I make all things new." Inspired by St. Teresa, may we embrace this mission with courage and perseverance, remembering that Christ has no body now but ours to carry out his work. Knowing we can do nothing without you, may our sacrifices bear fruit, our generosity be an outpouring of your goodness, and our unity be a witness to your love. Saint John the Evangelist, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.